Good evening, everyone. This is Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege to share with you this evening. There's so many cool things happening, so many awesome people on tonight's call. I could spend this entire call edifying those of you on tonight's call. There's so many fantastic people I heard rang in. I am being very, very sincere. I could spend the entire call edifying the first-class people from Bridget Bartley to Don Ferrantino, Carlotta Davis. I mean, the long laundry list, Jamie Marabito. I mean, I could just go down this list of all of you fantastic business owners that I've had the privilege of collaborating with. Bobby Robinson, 15 years I've known Bobby on this call. And then I heard my couple from Dallas that I've been my clients for 12 years. I want to thank all of you for being on tonight's call. And a special congratulations to my superstar friend and client, Don Ferrantino. Don is hosting the event this Saturday with me in Clark, New Jersey. Don has absolutely created a standing room only event. She's already sold 100 tickets. If you're in the area, there would be a fantastic group of people attending. It's like the superstars are sitting in the front row. I mean, it's amazing the people that are coming to this event. Don is also going to be a featured speaker at the John Maxwell event coming up at the end of the month. I mean, that means Don is in an elite group of some of the top 50 network marketers in America. She's been chosen for that event. So Dawn and I will be sharing the stage this Saturday in Clark, New Jersey, and Dawn and I will be hosting many other events. November 19th, we will also be in one of my favorite New Jersey places, Weehawken. Many of you on tonight's call have shared that event with me going back multiple years. Joe Alonzo, Joe DiBianca, Leah and Joe LaManna have been at those events with me, so I want to thank all of you for tonight's call. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. I am amassing a fantastic array of inspirational speakers before the end of the year. I mean, it's like in the old days of the New York Yankees, they called it Murderer's Row. Well, here's my lineup for speakers coming up in the next few weeks. Next Tuesday night, I have Joy Schoenholtz. Joy is an exceptional woman, a multiple five-figure monthly income earner, a multiple six-figure income earner, well on her way to being a seven-figure income earner in network marketing and direct sales. Joy has a long list of credentials and some fabulous successes that she's been through, and she'll be sharing that. Joy is a single mom of two beautiful twins, or of twin girls. She'll be my guest on next September 20th. On October 4th, I have the one and only Susan Sly. Susan will be getting back from Africa. She will be on my call for the first time this year. That is Tuesday, October 4th. October 18th, I have the one and only Dr. Joe Dispenza. That will be an unequivocal life-changing call. And then on November 2nd, a real gem, a superstar that many of you have not had the privilege of meeting, the people who attended the Breakthroughs to Success event were absolutely blown away by this young man, Michael Perkins. Michael, at age 30, already owns 6 legal marijuana dispensaries. Now, what does that mean? It means he's right in the forefront of prohibition. Michael is a pioneer in the legal cannabis industry, already achieving multiple 7 figures, soon to be 7 figures a month. Michael, at age 30 years old, will be sharing his story of what he went through at being homeless at age 14, living on the streets, and has absolutely been a pioneer in the last several years in the legal cannabis industry. He has branding partners, the branded the 2K skis, Panera Bread, Starbucks coffee. His branding partners are full-time partners with him in his, or full-time employees of his in his enterprises. So a dispensary, what does that mean? He owns 6 legal cannabis stores in multiple states, soon to be in multiple other states. Michael is a fantastic business owner and entrepreneur. November 2nd is definitely a call to be on. When you spend a few minutes with him, you will understand how large his presence will be in the world in a very short period of time. On the 24th of September, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire with a whole exceptional group of inspirational men and women, specifically Abby O'Neill. Abby is one of the most dynamic women I've had the privilege of collaborating with and coaching in the last 2 years. She has rock star potential. I have the privilege of sharing an event with her on September 24th. I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with Jeremy Engel for the first time in 5 years in beautiful Milwaukee. Long Island, New York with Joy Schoenholtz, Kelly Bartoletti, Columbia, South Carolina, Bridget Bartley, Carlotta Davis, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner. Carlotta Davis is the first class hostess with the mostest at that event. October 22nd, I will be in Tampa, Florida with C.G. Siddons. October 29th, Missoula, Montana. And that is going to be a fabulous event. I have been to Missoula on one occasion, and it is going to be an awesome event. Have several people from other states coming to that event. So if you have any opportunity or can make it to that event, I highly, highly recommend. Kayla Johnson is hosting that event for me, who is an exceptional businesswoman. And November 12th, I will be in Dallas, Texas. Now, for those of you who have been my coaching client before, I have the best lineup that I've ever hosted for a Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop on November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I have Corey Shane speaking, Michael Perkins from the cannabis industry. I will also have Scott Aaron, myself, Meg Noon, and a whole host of other inspirational speakers and attendees. If you want to attend that event and want to squeeze into it, there's still room available. November 19th, I'll be in Weehawken. December 3rd, Atlanta, Georgia. 8th, 9th, and 10th is the last Breakthroughs to Success of the year. And my last speaking engagement of 2016 will be December 17th in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the beach at the Westin, and that is a beautiful property. I'm in the process of considering and negotiating for hotel space for the Millionaire Blueprint in January in San Antonio. I do not have that property booked. I'm in the process of having it located. I'll give you more insight and information. There's also a possibility it won't happen because of the lateness at the event, but I guarantee you there will be Millionaire Blueprints next year, at least two of them. One of them on April 15th with Dr. Joe Dispenza in Edison, New Jersey. And I want to thank Sandy Diorio, who is my event coordinator, who is a first-class woman who puts those events together for me. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight. It's very interesting. The minute I finish this call, I go into a recording studio with a new educational company who's going to be using some of my content for their brand new educational platform. And some of the content I'm covering tonight, I'm going to turn right around and cover it on a recorded call in a studio, so it's interesting. This is back-to-back content, and this content is very pertinent for specifically where you are. This call is about dreams, dreaming, selling the dream, living the dream, becoming the dream, and having clarity in your dreams and understanding what it really means to have a vision, to have clearly defined short-term goals about an outcome, to be able to have dedicated blocks of time devoted to living your dreams, to be able to have boundaries, be able to say, to tell people that you're no longer an addicted over-obligator. You're no longer codependent because you're living independently. You're able to separate your feelings from the events that shape them so you can unequivocally live your dreams. Now, when you're in network marketing, direct sales, you're selling products, benefits, and features, it's very important that you have product knowledge. It's exceptionally important that you understand what your product is all about. It's important that you understand the benefits and the features. It's also equally important that you can convey to your constituents how they can be and stay compensated. It's important that you have product knowledge, that you understand the history of the industry or the company you're in, but it's also very important that you understand how to sell the dream. Selling the dream is really a metaphor, and it doesn't mean that you sell the dream. I mean, it's a contradiction in its own way. Selling the dream really means you're able to ask questions about other people's dreams while you are in the process of living yours. Now, what I have found in my 30-plus-year career, that a large percent of Canada, America, America, North America, Australia, and many of the continents and places you do business, the average person that lives in each individual country has challenges defining their dream. You will find that if you are a skilled interviewer, that a large percent of a population, anywhere you're connecting with people, when you ask them about their dreams, there's typically a sound that comes out of their mouth, A large percent of the population has been conditioned to not really have dreams, and typically what most people will tell you is what they think you want to hear. They will tell you that they want to pay it forward, they want to give back, they want to do a charity, they want to be philanthropic. They want to have these kinds of situations, which are equally important, and I do agree that it's very important to come from giving, to come from service, but it's also equally important to come from deserving, receiving, and be able to state clearly and understand that you deserve to live your dreams. So if you are fact-finding, rapport-building, communicating and connecting, and I'm going to use it in the American populace, you're going to find out that a large percent of the population has forgotten how to dream. A large percent of the population, 2 out of 5 men have been molested, 3 out of 5 women, there's half the population. Another large percent of the population grows up in broken homes with alcoholic and addicted situations in their circle of influence, a lot of violence in many of these situations. And by the time a large percent of the children are 5, 10, 15, they have forgotten how to dream. And if you're one of those children that lost your innocence and had to step to the plate and become a grown-up, there's a high probability that will set you up to be codependent and also an over-obligator, which also means that your neurological network of neurons that are wired and fired are very service-oriented, which service is also a great commodity and a great skill, but also you have to be able to have value yourself enough to be able to believe to live your dreams. You want to be clearly defined about your dreams, so when you ask other people about theirs, you're able to be able to tell what they mean and what they say, so you can differentiate between someone who has dreams or someone who's telling you what you think you want to hear. You're going to find that a large percent of the population is very unclear, very undisciplined, and they have commitment phobic issues. Now, when you are fact-finding, communicating with people, you want to be able to ask a series of closed-in questions, yes and no questions, and open-ended questions. If money were not an issue, and you could live life on your terms and time frame, how would you live? If you could live anywhere in the world, in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, in Mexico, in the Caribbean, where would you live? If time were of the essence and you could have time on your side, what would you do with your time? If money weren't an issue, what would you do with your time? These are questions that you can learn to articulate so you can have a better understanding of where someone is. I constantly or continually ask waitresses, busboys, service-oriented people, when I'm in their circle of influence, have you ever considered owning your own business? Now, I've been monitoring the responses I've received for many multiple years, and it's typically, here's what I'll get. I'll ask someone, have you ever considered owning your own business? And I get these kinds of responses. I'm going to medical school. I'm going to nursing school. I'm going to college. I want to be a fireman. Now, what I know right now is that person did not answer my question. I didn't ask them if they're going to school, college, or a vocation. I asked them if they've ever considered owning their own business. That was a tell, i.e. a telegraph. I've also, for service-oriented people, offered them to ensure promptness, money for their services. It's very interesting to watch how many people check out, get overwhelmed, and have deserve and receive issues and feel extremely uncomfortable about receiving a to ensure promptness, a tip for their services. I do a game with real live money at some of my intimate events called Breakthroughs to Success, and it's very common for people to feel so uncomfortable they want to leave the event, they want to run out of the room, they want to go to the bathroom, because the thought of doing a game with live money challenges a lot of their beliefs. It brings up deserve issues, receive issues, I'm not good enough, I don't know what to ask, I don't know what to say, I might get in trouble, do I have to perform the task, do I get to keep the money, what if I can't go, and a whole series of anxieties get started by a simple game that lasts 10 minutes with a $1 bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill, and a $20 bill. And it's not the denomination of the bill, It's the energy put into it. It's the meaning of what it means. And as you begin to let go of anxieties and have a better understanding of how important it is that you have dreams, and you'll also be able to ask people about their dreams. Now, the reason you ask people about their dreams is not to be nosy, not to pry in their affairs. It's to fact find. It's to rapport build. It's to find out if the person you're communicating with has dreams, has clearly defined goals about outcomes they seek, has a reason to change. The real reason that you're asking people that question, the dream questions, is to find out if they're willing to change. A large percent of society tiptoes quietly through life, unfortunately arrives at their grave safely. You want to be able to create great value by asking great questions. The more skilled you become at asking the questions, specifically in a sequence, there's a flow to the questions. You're able to adapt and adjust easily. You don't get overwhelmed. You're able to ask a series of questions about an outcome you seek. Leading questions. If you were going to hire a dog groomer or a dog setter for your pet, you're definitely going to ask questions in the sequence. If you're going to hire a maid service or someone to clean your house, you're definitely going to interview them to see if they qualify for your time. If you're going to go buy a home, it should be relatively important that you hire a good mortgage broker, a title company, and all the other service-oriented people around buying that house to be able to service your requirements. You would fact find, rapport build. You would ask questions in a sequence. Well, the same situation applies when you're looking for branding partners, when you're looking for prosperity partners, when you're looking for product consumers and teammates to join your flourishing organization, your culture, or your tribe. And that's why it's so valuable to have value so you can ask questions about other people's values. You're going to find a large percent of the population devalues themselves. They live in low self-esteem, they're overwhelmed, they're anxious, they're emotionally addicted to a set of feelings based on past events that keeps them neurologically addicted to being disappointed. And the more you understand that a large percent of the population gave up on their dreams, typically somewhere between 14 and 30. Now in dream increments, 10, 14, 18, 22, 26, and 30. I like to ask people questions about their dreams. So when I ask someone, if money weren't an issue, what would you do with your time? And they check out. Or I ask someone, what is important that you accomplish in the next 12 months? What is it that you want to accomplish for yourself? And I like to put it in for yourself so I don't get the I want to change the planet routine. I want to see if they can personalize a dream for themselves, meaning they're not too guilty to include themselves. And there's nothing wrong with putting yourself first in context in certain situations. We are so conditioned to be guilty. We're so conditioned to stay guilty. And we also let other people use guilt to control us. It's very common for me to encounter someone who is violated by a parent, a relative, someone in their circle of influence, and that person is still in their life today because they're family, because we are so conditioned to stay connected with their family, even though they may be serial perpetrators, violators, or they may be passive-aggressive, or they use force to create us to be their counterforce. And if you live in that situation, there's a high probability you will not get permission to move across the country. We can't believe you're doing this. We will never see our grandchildren again. Are you kidding me? We won't be able to afford to visit you. And if you have been guilted into submission, there's a high probability you don't have dreams or your dreams are limited. And if your dreams are limited, then it's going to be challenging for you to attract your reality, people who have the ability to dream. Now, there's a differentiation between someone who's a big dreamer and a big schemer and someone who lives in the clouds versus someone who has clearly defined short-term goals and has clearly defined dreams. It was my dream to be a major league athlete. It was my dream to play in the National Football League, be an Olympic gold medal winner. It was my dream to own a business from the comfort of my home. It was my dream to move to South Florida, my dream to move to Los Angeles, San Diego, California, Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Missoula or Bozeman, Montana, any multitude of situations where you desire to live, a dream. And there isn't anything worse than the death of a dream. And unfortunately, many people stop dreaming in their teenage years, in their 20s. And you will encounter some of them. Synonyms for them are naysayers, flaw finders, people who are emotional and spiritual vampires. These people tend to steal your dreams from you. And how do you sell the dream? You sell the dream by living yours, or you're in the process of it. Every single day is a gift. It's 86,400 seconds, one day in the banquet of life, 1,440 minutes, 1 hour, one day. And you should be in the process each and every day of living your dream, waking up inspired, not to attack the day, but to be able to produce in the day. You want to be able to produce and relax in a very relaxed body. But if you're overwhelmed and unresolved anger, resentment, hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, you're going to be sending a very low vibrational energy, and you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem, your disappointment, your overwhelmed state, and your emotional addictions. As you begin to let go and separate your feelings from the events that shape them, now you can reignite your dream. You can begin to dream again. The most important person you sell the dream to is yourself. You must buy into the fact that you deserve to have your dreams. You deserve to accomplish your dreams. You deserve to live your dreams. And being able to be a dream seeker, it may be uncomfortable for a few people in your circle of influence. This is not a black and white situation. There are people who will attempt to steal your dreams, and there are people who empower you to live your dreams. And those are the people you seek to collaborate with, have in your circle of influence, create win-win situations with, and be able to share your dreams with. What I learned real quickly, there were certain people in my influence who didn't want me to succeed. There were certain people in my influence who attempted to steal my dreams. They actually told me to grow up, get real, and stop chasing rainbows. One of my friends had told me I was crazy when I wanted to move to California. C-R-A-Z-Y, crazy. I was told it's really expensive to live out there. I was also given the earthquake syndrome when I moved to California. Oh my God, there's a lot of earthquakes there. Now, the person who was telling me, it is interesting because I also grew up in the Midwest. Even though there are occasionally earthquakes, I also grew up in Tornado Alley, and it wasn't uncommon on any given spring in April for me to look out and see the temperature completely drop, a drop 15 to 20 degrees, a funnel drop down to the ground, and I have actually seen barns destroyed, just like in the movie Twister, where the barns actually started going up in the air. Now, I never saw the cows or the trucks, but I definitely have seen properties dismantled, houses and barns start to disintegrate and go right into a funnel. So it's amazing how many people have said those. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've also said, oh my God, aren't you scared of the earthquakes? No, I'm not scared of the earthquakes. I don't give power to situations that don't empower me. And there are certain people who go out of their way to find the flaws. Now, those typically aren't the people you're seeking to have in your circle of influence. You sell the dream by asking people a series of questions. What if I haven't accomplished my dreams? Well, then what happens is you have now effectively made the situation about you. If you're in process of living your dreams and it hasn't happened, give yourself credit because you're dreaming, and that's a major component of the situation. You want to have clearly defined dreams about outcome, measured in time frames, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, 3 years, 5 years, that's up to you. You should arbitrarily have your dreams memorized, written down, pictures of it, live it. And I love to travel. I've been to 49 states. The only state I've not visited is Alaska, and it is definitely on my vision board. And I've spent quality time in many, many states. It was a dream of mine to see as many of the United States states as possible. One of my dreams is to see every major Civil War battlefield between 1861 and 1865. I also desire to drive on the back roads of Route 66. I've been on many portions of it. I've been to many, many of the most exceptionally cool places in the United States, Four Corners, where the four states meet, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado. Breathtaking. I've been to one of the most exceptional places in the world, Fez, a medieval village established in the 8th century on the third corniche of the French Riviera, where you can virtually see Monte Carlo from the very top of that vista point. And I've driven through big drive-through tree in Oregon. I've been to Rio de Janeiro. I've spent a month in Puerto Vallarta before it was fully developed, Cabo San Lucas, and I said practically every state in the Union, and it's unequivocally you should be doing the same thing, experiencing culture, traveling the world, living the good life. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and it's your responsibility to decide the beauty of you seek in living your dreams. Some of you want to be able to be free of debt, own a house of your choice, a home on the beach. Some of you want to start a foundation and come from charitable acts of kindness. Well, those unequivocally are your dreams, but you must also be able to personalize it. And the importance of your dream and living it is the person you become. One of my dreams was to share the stage with the great Jim Rohn. I was able to accomplish that dream on September 30th, 2000 in Los Angeles, California, with 65 people. I then booked the great Jim Rohn to speak at one of my events, January 2005. I know that Lisa and Troy McKnight were at some of those Jim Rohn events back in the day. Jim Rohn spoke for me in 2005, 6, 7, and the last keynote speech he ever spoke was for me in Dallas, Texas, January 2008, and I actually have a recording and have that event recorded and available for download on audio. It was a magical, mythical time for me in that time frame. I shared the stage with Jim Rohn on 5 different occasions. Don Ferrantino has the privilege of sharing the stage with the great John Maxwell. I was able to accomplish that at the Cotton Bowl, of no less. Not in the Cotton Bowl Stadium, but an arena at the Cotton Bowl. And that was in December 2010. So these are some of the dreams that you can accomplish. Places you travel, you want to be able to be free of debt, you want to be able to own property outright, you want to have investments, you want to have, if you're a charitable type of person or you're a philanthropist, you want to have that in place. You want to have money in motion so you're not trading time for it. You may want to build a baseball stadium or a situation like this. You may be a big dreamer. You may want to own a sports franchise or a hospital or a bank, whatever the situation is. Your dreams are a direct reflection of your beliefs and your action. But if those two situations falter, then that dream becomes a wish. Your action and your belief, your sense of certainty, followed by a plan of action that can be monetized over and over. But if your routine is average, then your outcome will be average. If your routine becomes exceptional, your habits start to be in alignment with your dreams, there's a high probability you will begin to magnetize your dreams to your reality. But if your dream is a wish, and you're a big dreamer and you have small action, then your dream will be disintegrated relatively quickly, which will lead to this key word, disappointment. But to be able to sell to the imagination, you're not always selling the benefits and the features. When you are selling the dream, you are virtually asking people if they have any in a diplomatic forum by the way you ask the questions. You want to ask leading questions that lead up to the dream question. You ask someone if they've ever considered owning a business for the very purpose, because owning a business paints the picture of life on my terms and my time frame. It romances and creates a salivation in the back of the tongue that there's going to be a 30-second commute from their bedroom to their boardroom, 30 seconds, on the carpeted freeway. And they don't have to get in the snow, get in a car, get in a train. They're not going to ride Bay Area Rapid Transit in Los Angeles. They're not going to get on the 405, the Bay Area Rapid Transit in San Francisco, and they will definitely not be getting on the 405 in morning traffic. When does rush hour traffic stop in Los Angeles? It doesn't. It's 24/7 because of the lack of a transit situation. And wouldn't it be a dream not to have to commute? I coached a woman yesterday who commutes on any given day 2 to 4 hours, and her term was into the city. That would be Manhattan. Some days it's 2 hours, other days it's 4 hours. Imagine how much of your life is devoted to commuting when that is part of your reality. And if your dream is to fire your boss, well, you want to be able to have a day that you set that, but you have to overcome your anxiety about, oh, you don't understand my situation. I do understand your situation. I may not have children, but I've had $100,000 worth of liability debt. I've been in $1.5 million worth of real estate debt before. So if anyone would understand, I understand. I've been homeless a couple of times. I do understand. I do understand what it's like to be at rock bottom, which is a very overrated place that you typically forget to dream. But if you do reignite your dream at rock bottom, the beauty of being at rock bottom is nowhere up to go. There's nowhere else to go but up. It means you can also have very little anxiety and worries when you stop letting go of what you can't control. And if you have clearly defined dreams, then you will not have challenges asking other people about their dreams. To ask other people about their dreams, you must let go of these anxieties. Getting in trouble, making a mistake, being rejected, not being perfect, failing, and any other multitude of stories you create to avoid the perceived pain of asking the questions. Unfortunately, a large percent of the population, GR and GR, get ready to get ready. And if that is you, ask yourself, why do you do what you do? If you don't understand why you do what you do, you will continue to do that which is familiar. For any of those of you who started off with a 15-minute coaching call with me, and then you transitioned that into hiring me to be your coach, well, I ask you these questions. I've asked you dream questions. I've asked you outcome questions. I've asked you to be realistic. I've asked you to be candid. I've asked you to cut to the chase. I've asked you to let go of your ums and ahs. I've asked you to say commit rather than guess. You can't live your dreams when you're in an interested state. You can live your dreams when you are committed. When your cause is bigger than your problem, when your reason is bigger than your addiction, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your addictions. As you let go of your emotionally addicted state, then you can be very clear and candid with other like-minded success seekers when it comes to you finding out if they have dreams. If money weren't an option, what would you do with your time? Now, here's one of the most common questions that lead to someone's dream. Why do you want to start a business? Why do you want to improve the quality of your health? Why do you want to release weight? When you ask these types of questions, that leads people into the paint their picture. There's a song called Paint Me a Birmingham by Tracy Lawrence. It's an exceptional song. Download it and listen to it because it's really about that. He asked a painter on the side of a street if he could paint him a Birmingham. The song is a metaphor for going back in time when he was in love with the woman who left him, and he wanted that artist to render a painting of what having a little house with a porch that wrapped around the house, and can you paint me in that dream? It's a very classic song about going back in time. And if you are a dreamer, you want to be a clearly defined dreamer. There are people who have big dreams, but big dreams require big action. And you want to be a silent producer. If you want recognition, your recognition will come from your production. But many people dream of walking the stage. Well, that's freaking good. That's great, dude. But if you want to walk the stage, you're going to walk that stage because you are a producer. And you can't be a producer without production habits. Production habits are about results. And if you're not results-oriented or outcome-oriented, and you'll have a challenge mastering being able to create your dream. I dreamed of owning a car collection. I was able to accomplish that one day at a time by purchasing my first car, my first collectible car in 1985. My first collectible car was a 1972 4.5-liter V8 Mercedes-Benz. It was an exceptional moment for me. Now, that car only cost $6,600. It was in rough shape. It was beat up, but it was my first Mercedes. My first classic car was a 1974 Karmann Ghia. I then had a Triumph TR7. I had a 3.CS BMW. I had a classic 280ZX 25-year anniversary edition. I started buying cars in my early 20s. I moved to Los Angeles, California when I was 26 years old. I was living my dreams. I was riding my bicycle 6.6 miles from Westwood Boulevard. I lived close to Westwood Boulevard. I actually lived at 433 Midvale Avenue, right off the 405 on Montana. I'd ride 6.6 miles in the morning to Ocean Avenue. I'd walk down a set of stairs, walk over Pacific Coast Highway, and be on Will Rogers Beach. That was one of my dreams. I spent almost the entire summer of 1985 hanging out on that beach. Now, that was one of my dreams. What are some of the dreams that you've accomplished? And the more you understand to live your dreams, you have to be able to see them before they happen. Most people will believe their dream after it's happened, meaning it never happens, because they don't believe that they can accomplish it. Clearly defined outcomes about dreams that you're creating. That means you have to have a vision. A vision board's a good idea. Having a vision board event with your team's a good idea, but it's also a great idea to be able to see inside your eyelids the situation, the opportunities, the events, the dreams that you are creating. You must be able to salivate your dreams, taste your dreams, feel your dreams for you to ever live the dream. And then when you're prospecting, it's imperative that you ask questions that lead to other people's dreams, because it paints a picture for them. When you are presenting a business opportunity where people can live the good life, you must be able to set the sale. It's not the sale, it's the set of the sale, said the great Jim Rohn, meaning you set the sale up by the way you ask the questions. The linchpin drops when you ask the dream question, because that's the question that creates the salivation in the back of someone's mouth, because you have effectively reignited their dream. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm calling you from Stockton, California. How are you this evening? You had responded to one of my internet ads about starting a business from home. Is that correct? What has you in a position you're looking for a way to start a business? Now, right there, I'm right in the middle of asking a question about the dream. What is it has you in a position you're looking for a way to improve the quality of your health? You are selling the good life. The good life is health, wealth, spirit, finance, philanthropy, any multitude of situations. But the easiest way to sell the dream is to sell the dream about having a great physique, a great body, feeling comfortable in your body, releasing weight, having energy, feeling like you're living a good life, you're going to live a long, prosperous life, letting go of the diseases that create the anxiety that overwhelms a large percent of society. What has you in a position and looking way to improve the quality of your health? Why do you want to own your own business? How serious are you about owning a business? When can you see yourself owning a business? These are some of the questions you ask that lead to the outcome. You ask why questions. Why do you want to improve the quality of your health? Why do you want to start a business? Have you ever considered starting a business? Why do you want to start a business? Those are reflex questions. You're able to ask those and adapt and adjust very effectively as you ask questions about someone's outcome. This is a non-scripted communication. You can memorize it relatively quickly because there's a series of questions that you ask over and over. You ask predictable questions because people are predictable. There's a large percent of society when you ask them the dream question, they will check out with inflection. They check out. They check out because they're checked out. They're checking out while they're checking out, and they're so checked out that they are checked out. It's foreign to them. That's a foreign currency, a foreign country. It's on the other side of the pond. That's where a lot of people reside, emotionally checked out in another continent, in an outer body experience. So when you ask them a dream question, it provokes an followed by a well. Typically a drunkalogue, a story is followed, because this person is so disconnected from the thought of even having a dream, because they are so wrapped up in day-to-day living that they are overwhelmed making a living. They commute from here to there. They have 2 to 3 kids, a dog. They live in the burbs. They don't even understand their mortgage. They don't understand the difference between principal and interest. They're on a 30-year death pledge, a mortgage that they'll never pay off. They're paying 3 times the value of the house. They have liability debt, school loan debt. It begins with an F. They are, I'll use the S version of it, they are screwed. These are your pretty little pets that are many of your prospects. These are also many of the people you give power to, and you're worried about what they're going to say about you. Well, it's amazing how much energy people give to situations that never happen. What are my friends going to think? Well, here's a better question. What do your friends do for a career? Oh, that's right. They have a job. They are broke. That's it. Well, what are they going to think? Who knows what they're going to think? Because you're probably not ever going to get around to asking them because you're checked out. Unfortunately, this is the game that most people emotionally masturbate themselves, being overwhelmed, not being in the present, in the moment. They are checked out. So for you to check in, let go of the anxiety that keeps you overwhelmed and begin to clearly define your dreams. And if you want to move to Charleston, South Carolina, do it. Stop procrastinating. Go online. Look it up. Find a realtor. If you want to move to Montana, do it. I can refer you to many realtors. If you want to move to Manhattan, do it. Stop talking about it. Do it. You don't understand my situation. I do understand your situation. You're never going to get around to living your dreams because you talk yourself out of them. You either have to persuade yourself into your dreams or continue to talk yourself out of them. But if you have a lot of liability debt and a whole host of other situations, then you have passive-aggressive relatives. That's a whole other call. Passive-aggressive relatives, family members who are very intimidated about you dreaming, and you're too guilty to stand up to this situation, then you will let these broke dicks rob you of your dreams. Yes, I said that. That's what most of society does, is they let other people who are emotionally challenged, financially bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, broke in, rob them of their dreams. Wow, I don't know if I could dream that big. You're right. You couldn't. Well, that sounds like pie in the sky. For you, it would. You'd be eating crow pie. That's what you would be eating. Or a cow pie. That's what most people should eat because that's what they do. They talk smack, robbing other people out of their dreams. Do not ever let anyone steal your dreams. I've encountered a few in my time. Grow up. Get real. Stop chasing rainbows. Get a job. Get a real job. Why would I want a real job if I couldn't even keep a job? I mean, what's the difference between a real job and a real job meant I was supposed to have a white shirt, a red tie, penny loafers, what are those called, Weegans, Bass Weegans, or Brogans is another term. I was supposed to wear those kinds of shoes, Dockers, slacks, a generic belt. I was supposed to carry a briefcase, a cell phone, in any of those other situations, trading time for dollars in someone else's dream, a place called a job. A job pays us what a job is worth. Jobs are for people who are job seekers, people who are secure, people who don't want to live the good life. There's nothing wrong with having a job, but if you're done with having a job and you're tired of that little tiny paycheck that you can hold up with a pair of tweezers, that $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 job that keeps you in handcuffs. It's a job in a jail. If you want out of that situation, then you have to learn how to live your dreams. You have to be the dream. So when you're communicating and connecting with people, a dream question starts simply with the first question. Have you ever considered owning a business? That sets the sale. Have you ever considered changing the quality of your health? Are you looking for a way to improve the quality of your health? Are you looking for a way to improve the quality of your energy? Have you ever considered what it would be like to live the good life? Well, I'm going to have Michael Perkins on this call in a few weeks. You'll hear Susan Sly on this call on October 4th. You've heard Alexis Romano. I unequivocally know that her and her sister Tara are living their dreams. How? They paid the price. They've been in the game long enough to master the emotional skills to live their dreams. And I just saw my good friend Don Baron Ferentino post a dream house. I mean, unequivocally, that's why you play the game, so you can have assets, not liabilities. If you are living in liability debt, overwhelmed, tiptoeing quietly through life, paying 8% interest on school loans, 3%, 4%, and 5% interest on home loans. If you have an ARM, a 10-year ARM on your loan, if you have a 30-year loan, you're going to pay 3, 4, 5 times the value of the asset that you have. You want to create enough money that you are asset rich, that you are also prosperous, that you're living a good life, that if you want to take a 2-week or a month vacation, you can take that vacation on your terms and your time frame. If you want to go to Santorini, Greece for 2 weeks and you not have your income affected, then build a leveraged business, real estate, insurance, internet marketing, network marketing, direct sales. Any of those business models can assist you to master the emotions, to create the compounded effect, to live the good life, to live the dream. If you want to own fractional ownership in a jet line called NetJet, you can do that. But you'd have to begin to make multiple six figures a month, seven figures a month. And you're going to hear from one of my clients, Michael Perkins, who's right now in the process of doing that before he is 31 years old. You hear his story, it'll make your challenges look like a cupcake, Chief. So when I have Michael on here, you're going to hear someone who really understands the inner game of free enterprise. The inner game of free enterprise is by mastering the inner game of your emotional state. So when I ask you, what are you doing to get overwhelmed, you say, Jeff, I don't get overwhelmed. That doesn't seem practical or possible for a lot of people. Of course it doesn't, because if you're checked out in your head, overwhelmed, living in unresolved anger, living in resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, well, you can't possibly relax long enough to master the skills to live your dreams. I have been living my dreams for 30-plus years. Some of those years, I was an addict. But even as an addict, I was able to realize many of my dreams while I was an addict. When I crossed the bridge to being a chronic addict, it was turn out the lights, the party's over. I forgot dreaming. I forgot to dream for almost 3 full years. I was so addicted to being an addict, I was addicted to being addicted, that there wasn't anything else but being addicted. I didn't have a dream of getting clean and sober. I was consumed with consumption, focused on getting through the day. But when I got clean and sober on December 17th, 1987, my entire game changed. I realized with the power of thought, the power of decision, I freaking knew that I was never going to have a drink again. Now, I didn't know that I'd have other challenges in other modalities, in codependence and some other situations. I ended up in a lot of liability debt. Once time, but I never drank again because the pleasure wasn't worth the pain. As you go through your process and become rigorously honest, meaning that there's no more cheat days and you won't cheat yourself out of life and you actually are committed to living your dreams, because is there anything worse than regret looking back and saying, wished I would have, if only I could have? Every year that you procrastinate about moving to Florida, moving to San Diego, moving to Montana, taking that vacation, paying your debt down, paying your debt off, living the good life, buying that car you've always dreamed of, buying that boat you've always dreamed of, taking that dream vacation, every year you do that is another year off your life that you never get back. You have a bank account of life every night that starts clicking time off at midnight, 86,400 seconds. You do not want to live the pain of regret. Buy yourself a Rob Report. If you're a dreamer, buy this magazine. Not online, but the real magazine. So just like in the old days, you can flip through it. I subscribed to Rob Report and Cowboys and Indians. Cowboys and Indians is another first-class magazine published in Dallas, Texas. At one point, I had every edition going back to 1994. But I no longer have those because of the clutter they created. But at one point, I had every single edition. That is a magazine of Western couture. But you want to really live the dream, you got to be able to smell the dream, feel the dream, sense the dream. You have to be able to salivate. It has to piss you off when you're average. It has to bother you when you're not living the dream. It has to shake you up, wake you up. You've got to be able to wake up inspired in creating the centrifugal force, the money in motion to live the dream. You have to be able to have that edge on. There's places that really has to, you have to be inspired. There's a place you have to tap into your anger, angry at yourself for being average. When you start to tap into that kind of energy, then you can say these words, I will not be denied. When you can come from that kind of power, that kind of energy, you sweat on the small of your back and you sweat on your two temples and your teeth that you grind because you're anxious, you start to grind because you're inspired. It's a different kind of grind. That's going from anger to angst, where you will not be denied. That's when you'll sell off everything you own just so you can pay to play the game. That's a song by the great Garth Brooks called Rodeo. It's the white in the knuckle, the gold in the buckle, that'll win the next go round. It's boots and chaps and cowboy hats. It's spurs and a latigo. And he'll sell off everything he owns just to pay to play the game. That means that you'll play for free for a short period of time. You'll sacrifice today. You'll have what others won't, so you can have what others don't, because if you're committed to living that good life, living that you're committed to living your dreams. My house, my properties, I've filled with dreams that I've acquired and treasures that I've picked up along my journey. And it's not the treasures, it's the person you become that allows you to pick up some of those treasures. It's the places you get to see. One of my dreams is to be able to tip waiters and waitresses and dine out with my friends and be able to pick the check up. I live that dream every single Friday and Saturday night of my existence. I dine out every Friday and Saturday night because I can, because I want to, because I want to be in that kind of experience. I want to be able to pass that kind of prosperity, reciprocity. I promised myself when I was 21 years old that I was going to tip like that guy. That guy's name was Dale Dunmire. That guy's name was Bill Hearn. That guy's name was Carl Tuffy DeLuna. Those three men were King Kong of tippers when I was growing up. These are the type of men that would tip me $100 to $500 to $1,000 for my service and my value. It taught me a great lesson about being disciplined, about taking pride in situations, about coming from service and value, and having dignity, character, class, and charisma, the four C's that never go out of style. There's always a market for courage, and it never goes out of style. So when you live your dreams in the process of it, then you can ask other people about it. That doesn't mean you have to have lived them. You're living them. It's a present tense situation. That doesn't mean that you live in a palatial mansion. I was living in a 400-square-foot It was actually a one bedroom. It was about 475 square feet. Had pocket doors. You know you're financially challenged when you're living on the edge of a financially challenged area. You know you're financially challenged when there's a heroin dealer across the street, and also a woman who's soliciting herself. I was living right on the edge of that situation in 1993. You know you're financially challenged when there's more month left at the end of the money. You know you're financially challenged when you're living in a 400-square-foot apartment, not in Manhattan, but Stockton, California. I've stayed in those hotels in Manhattan where you can touch everything in your room with a foot for about $575 a night. Yes, I understand that. But that's a distinct difference when you're paying about $575 for rent for a 400-square-foot apartment back in 1993 with pocket doors. You know you're financially challenged when your kitchen's in your living room. I've been there before, a time or five. I once rented a room in Reston, Virginia, while I was building a business in Arlington, Virginia. So yes, I know what it's like to sacrifice. I know what it's like to go without. I once had a grocery bill, or I had a grocery allowance of $50 a month. Hey, and I was living it. I drank a lot of shakes back then. I was in a company called Herbalife. Two of my meals were meal replacements, soy-based vanilla shakes. No one knew what GMOs were in 1991, 2, and 3, or I didn't anyway. And I was eating shark cartilage from another company I'd been in. I was in another company where we had the incredible, incredible Nutri-Cookie, a meal replacement cookie. Yes, I've been through some challenging situations. I once sold homeopathic, all-natural apricot appetite suppressant homeopathic jelly beans. That was a freaking paragraph to even convey to my potential customers what I was selling, and then they melted on a floor in Dallas, and they congealed. They melted together. It was hard to get them out of the jar. Yes, I've been through some interesting and developing situations as I was seeking to become the person I am today, living my dreams. I could romance my dreams even when I wasn't living them. I knew that I knew. I crossed the bridge. In 1991, I knew I was never going back. I had waited tables. I had sold radio and television time, straight commission. But in 1991, I knew I was never going back. At least I told myself that. Then for one short period of time, I did go back for a commission sales job while I was continuing to sell my dream, and even though I was going uphill, not going anywhere, but a miraculous situation happened. A man named Kelly Schnorenberg called me, Schnorenberg from Casper, Wyoming, called me out of left field, not right field, called me up and with a drawl and said, "Mr. Combs, I heard about you." What he didn't know, I was selling food for Cisco. he was calling me about some success I'd had a couple years ago, and someone that was in my team had told him that I was a top-tier producer. Well, I was once upon a time, but I had fallen out of favor with my dream and was trading time for commission money, selling wholesale food in the worst situation I've ever seen. I thought I'd be selling to 4- and 5-star restaurants. Since I was the rookie sales rep on the bottom of the totem pole, I was the last guy on number 83 people in my territory. I was selling to healthcare facilities, that is convalescent homes and nursing homes. Now, that's a whole other story. And even then, I had not forgotten my dream. Every time that someone would call me on my beeper, yes, I had a beeper then, no cell phone. I'd have to run to a payphone with a roll of quarters, call my customers when they would beep me because the truck driver forgot to drop off a can of number 10 peas. And I would have to run back to the facility about 35 miles, pick up a can of number 10 peas and deliver it. Yes, you might have guessed that. I freaking hated that job, and that was NFL, not for long. That was in one of my CDs. I licked my finger, stuck my finger on a quarter, moved it across the desk to the human resource woman, so here you go, call someone who cares. And I re-entered Free Enterprise because a man named Kelly called me up and offered me a $10,000 signing bonus. These things happened to me. Now, I hadn't made any money in 2 years. Guy offers me a $10,000 signing bonus, and he offers me a top position in a startup company. Well, that company eventually went out of business, but that got me back in the game. That reignited my dream, and I never traded time for money again. I ended up $100,000 in credit card debt, and even then, I did not sell out and go back and get a job. I did what any entrepreneur did, is I outproduced my problem. I had not forgotten the value of my dream. That was 1995 when I recrossed the bridge for about the 10th time, and that was the time that I said I'm never going back, and it happened. Now, many people won't do what I did, and I'm not expecting you to do, but I held out for 6 years. I made some money. I made intoxication money. It intoxicated me enough to stay in the dream, and I had romance money. I made enough money that I romanced living the good life, but I never made enough money to ever really get ahead in the first 6 years of my journey in Free Enterprise. I'm going to cover some of this story in Clark, New Jersey this Saturday about what I did to stay in business long enough to master the skills to live my dreams. As you start to romance your dreams, smell your dreams, taste your dreams, it creates a salivation in the back of your tongue. Those spots on your tongue are called glottals and diphthongs. That salivation you create when you can taste it, sense it, feel it, allows you to also be able to convey to other people that they can live their dreams. You don't have to have lived your dreams to be able to convey that you still have them. And when you're communicating with people, that's what you're asking them. You're really asking them questions on an unconscious level. Do you still dream? Do you have a vision? Do you have the emotional and intestinal fortitude to be able to stay in this game called Free Enterprise long enough to be a brand partner with me, long enough to partner up and collaborate with me, to be on my Mastermind Alliance team where you and I, of like mind coming together for common causes, we can live our dreams. If you're coming with me, jump on the bus. But you're going to find a lot of people go, no, I'm not getting on that bus. That bus looks dangerous. That bus has a low tire. I am not getting on that dream. No, dude. I'm going to drive this bus to a gas station. No. I'm not getting on that bus. That looks too risky. If you're not willing to risk for reward and take calculated risk, then this game isn't for you. If you're not willing to quit your job at some point because of how much anxiety you would have, oh, what would I do? One of the most classic situations that people talk themselves out of it is benefits. Or the benefits? Well, you know, what am I doing about my benefits? Well, look at this benefit. By living the dream, by being in the process, when people would ask me are there any benefits? Yeah, Chief. The benefit of getting rich, do you have the guts? And what about insurance? Well, buy your own. I mean, that's what I did. I bought $1,000 gave me insurance. Well, what if I get cancer? This isn't for you. See you, Chief. I mean, when people talk like this, that is a tell. They are telegraphing their anxiety. They do not QFT, qualify for my time. Doesn't mean they're not good people, but I'm not going to let someone who's negative, anxious, a dream stealer, emotional spiritual vampire, rob me of my energy. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you're having challenges with your dreams, if you haven't ignited your dream, if you're stuck, emotionally overwhelmed, emotionally addicted, physically addicted to a set of feelings and situations that keep you overwhelmed, you can contact me directly. 867-5309. If you can name that song, then you remember dreams in the past. 867-5309. If you can name that song and the artist, you are really good at memory. If you want to contact me, 209-932-0227. You can also inbox me on my Facebook page with the reason that you deserve to hire me to be your coach and your phone number. I will call you back relatively quickly so I can assist you to live your dreams. Once again, 15 minutes of free coaching, 209-932-0227. Next Tuesday night, Joy Schoenholtz will be my guest on the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. October 4th, Susan Sly. October 15th, Dr. Joe Dispenza. November 2nd, Michael Perkins. Do you realize this year is going to be over in a very few short weeks and months? GIG, get in the game. AIC, ass in chair. You'll win. You'll live your dreams by GIG, getting in the game, having your ass in chair, creating the compounded effect, creating results from the comfort of your home, creating 4- and 5-figure monthly income results as you're well on your way to living your dreams. Jeffrey Combs, everyone, have a great evening.